Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, everyone. This is Marty Oakley of the PPJ Gazette Online, and this is the TS Radio Network. Our show tonight is coming out of Australia, so hopefully something is wrong here. Something is way wrong. Let's see what we can do.
Hello.
Hi. Yeah. Hi. Everything got messed up here, and I had to sign back in. Oh, thank goodness you're there. I was panicking. Everyone, welcome to the show. This is Marty Oakley, and this is the TS Radio Network. Our show tonight originates in Australia, and we're going to be talking about a lot of things tonight. Doug, are you using a speakerphone?
No, I'm not.
Because I'm getting a tremendous amount of feedback.
Try that. How's that?
Okay, that's there. There you go. That's better. For those of you that have been following all of this, the saga here in the U.S. and in Australia, in fact, globally, what is happening is a global culling of the elderly. And in every supposed civilized country, there is a system that has been put in place where these people are targeted, kidnapped, isolated, forcibly medicated, brought to a premature death, but in the interim, they are robbed blind of everything. They are stripped of any and all rights. They are medicated out of their minds. They are starved and dehydrated to death. What is happening is absolutely disgusting. All of this is facilitated through our governments. We have right now in the state of Minnesota numerous bills coming out because we've raised so much hell, that supposedly are going to address all the problems in guardianship and conservatorship. They've even changed the wording from ward of the state, which, as you know, we've talked about so many times. It causes what we call a civil death. You lose your identity. You lose all of your rights and protections. You have no protection under the law. You are not a human being. You are a thing, an object. You are chattel property. And you cannot speak, you cannot defend yourself, you can't do anything. They've changed the wording. It now no longer is ward, and they go to person. Sounds good till you look in the Minnesota statute and what the definition of person is, and it's a corporation or other business. So this isn't working either. They still have made commodities out of this. But all of the bills... there are a few efforts to control the guardians and conservators. You can't isolate, and unless, of course, this is a big drawn-out paragraph in the bill. You can't isolate, and you can't do this, and you can't do that. But when it gets down to the bottom, it says, unless otherwise ordered by a probate judge, which, of course, obliterates everything that went before it, because everything that happens in these probate courts is facilitated by and pivots around that hearing examiner. That's who makes the system work, is that person who is the hearing administrator, administrative executive, hearing examiner, whatever name they are going by. But they're not judges. Judges is legal terminology, and a judge sits in a court of law. These are not courts of law. As in Australia, these are civil tribunals that operate outside of the law, were constructed specifically to avoid the law, to avoid your rights and protections, and basically set up a racket, which they've been running for a few decades now. This has reached a serious point globally. We're hearing from people all over the globe about their family members being targeted under this system. The theft of property is absolutely staggering here in the U.S. when they talk about the transfer of wealth. Oh, it's the transfer of wealth from the wealthy to the those that just don't want to work. Yeah, because they can't find a job. That isn't what's happening. The greatest transfer of wealth happening in this country and in Australia is the theft of estate from vulnerable elderly people. That's where the transfer of wealth is taking place. Families are being disinherited, and this is a thinning out of generational wealth. This leaves the next generation who should have inherited with less than what they should have had, which, of course, knocks them down on the economic ladder, which is part of the intention of this whole system. But with all of that in mind, we have Doug Young on tonight from Australia. Doug, welcome to the show.
I've just before I get into what I prepared, there's another matter that just popped up in the last 24 hours that demonstrates just how underhanded and despicably corrupt these scum are. We've got a person in Australia who's a victim who has been passed quite a number of medic and allied health professionals. There is absolutely no doubt whatsoever to any sentient being this person has capacity to do whatever he wants. Unfortunately, the scum, the Queensland Kangaroo Tribunal, has decided that we think he has no capacity, he has diminished capacity, therefore he is not entitled to manage his money and he is not entitled to obtain legal support. They have cut him off. Now, Australia is theoretically a signatory to all United Nations covenants, but despite all those, you know, the Universal Declaration of Human Rights, the Convention on Civil and Political Rights, the Convention on the Rights of Persons with Disabilities, all saying that a person, no matter what level of capacity they have, has automatic right to representation, Australian Kangaroo Tribunals are saying, no, you have no right to anything. You certainly don't have the right to engage legal counsel. We're not going to have that. We're not going to let you get legal counsel to fight us. We're certainly not going to let you use your money to fight us. We'll use your money to fight you, but surely you don't think we're going to let you use your money to fight us. And that's exactly what we're fighting. In the last day or so, we've had a decision that a person who has total capacity, has tons and tons of medical allied health professional reports saying he has full capacity, oh, we don't take notice of those. We'll decide that you've got no capacity and your life's finished. You've got no rights. Now, I will beat this thing by hook or by crook, but it won't be beaten in Australia. Anyway, that's my rant to start with.
That's all right. You rant on.
You're not going to fight in Australia. Anybody that thinks they're going to fight these rackets in Australia and win it has got rocks in their head. It's not going to happen. The corruption is too well ingrained. Well, as someone pointed out, you really can't call it corruption because the system is doing exactly what it was intended to do. It's not corrupt. It was designed to be predatory. Corrupt only means you've got legislation not being followed. Their legislation basically allows them to do whatever they want. First and foremost, this guardianising a person, which is the US version, or Australian, we call it the guardianship racket, is primarily about gaining control of the victim's estate. That's all it's about, getting hold of the money. Show me the money. All governments are both financially and morally bankrupt. They all spend far beyond their means, and consequently, they are constantly on the lookout for easy revenue. Persons alleged to have diminished capacity are easy targets for official scum with absolutely no ethics and endowed with total protection and immunity. In the Australian context, official entities describe potential victims with appreciable net worth, that's in the region of $50,000, as merchandise. So it gives you a fair idea how they view their victims. Merchandise. Not human.
Wow.
Well, the very concept of an official agency supposedly created to protect the interest of vulnerable folk, actually plundering the estates of victims, is beyond despicable. That is exactly what the guardianship racket is about. Official agencies supposedly created to protect their interest, plundering their estates. How low can you get?
That's the thing, Doug. That's one of the things that always hits me behind all of this. Where did all these predators come from? These people obviously have no morals, no conscience, nothing. I've never seen anything like this, and that there's so many of them is what scares me.
Since the definition of psychopath perfectly well.
Yeah.
They have no, psychopaths have no, they are control freaks, but they have no morality, no scruples, no principles, no nothing. It doesn't strike them as being a sin to abuse people, because that's what they do. That's abuse of victims, of the vulnerable, is exactly what psychopaths do. That's why they're psychopaths. That's why they're in
yeah.
that position. That's why they were chosen. To get into a position of power in the bureaucracy, you really need to be a psychopath.
Yes. You know, when I first came across that, Doug, was with the police departments here. They've militarized
yep.
them, of course, and they are a threat to the communities
yes.
they're in, for the most part. But when I found out that they had started, they've always administered psychological tests, and if you had certain flags in your psychological profile, they wouldn't hire you. They wouldn't allow you to become an officer. Now they're looking for those defects, and
yes,
you can't
look,
get
I've,
on with
I've always sworn that to be a copper in Australia, you
yeah.
well, you're some bit of pommy. You don't call them coppers. It's that comes from the pommy ancestry. To call them a cop, you basically you're the first selection criteria is you must have been the schoolyard bully.
Yeah, yeah. It just, it's absolutely disgusting. And, you know, I've talked about this. These people could be sitting next to you, standing next to you, and they look like normal people. But if you, but they aren't, you know, they aren't. Yeah.
It'd be worth Americans that don't know the Australian political scene to do a read-up on the Commonwealth Foreign Minister. We commonly refer to him as Potato Head. Now, in the event that Scummo gets a knife stabbed in his back, which he's likely to get done, the federal grub that's likely to get up is the one we call Potato Head.
Okay.
I'd suggest that anybody interested in Australian politics does a bit of read-up on Potato Head. And if we think we're going to get out of trouble by getting rid of Scummo, wait and see what Potato Head. He'll have us wearing brown shirts and doing goose-stepping within a week.
Yeah. We're kind of all headed for that anyway, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah, go ahead.
To get back to my original rant, Australian state and federal governments are both financially and morally bankrupt. Hence, the end justifies the means. There are no morals, no scruples. We want your money. We will do whatever we have to plug the hole that we created by being inept. Basically, we have something like 25 million citizens in Australia. America has something like 300 million. Despite that, we pay our head of state, Scummo, more money than what you pay the Donald.
Oh, wow.
You've got more than 10 times that population. We're still paying Scummo more than 30% more than what you're paying the Donald.
Wow.
So Americans think they got problems. American problems are much better.
You
what we
have
do.
No idea. You have no idea. It is just so sick. You know, you reach a certain age, Doug, and you think, well, things are going to get better, or they couldn't get any worse. And damned if they don't get worse.
Wait
to
see
when
Scummo gets stabbed in the back and we get Potato Head up as Prime Minister. Just wait and see what's going to happen then.
Oh, God. It's just, you know, I don't know. We've got this man in office. I have not yet been able to figure out if his intentions are actually good and he's just off his rocker. Or if he's just so, you know, I have never seen anything like this. He is amoral. He lacks any intellectual capacity. He's emotionally stunted, says some of the most idiotic things, and yet we have this whole sector of the population that screams hysterically that he is the best president we have ever had in their lifetime. My response to that was, this is just proof some people really were born yesterday. And how do these people get in? How did they ever become candidates, Doug? I just don't get
wonder.
It. You know, every country is facing this. These people
you
got
to wonder.
Yeah. How did this happen? This was the best we've got.
You didn't have a lot of choice, of course.
No. The other choice was Attila the Hun.
Well, the choice we had when we elected Scummo was the other one, was the one we called Shitten.
Okay.
Such is life. Anyway, to get back to my bit, the two bits of legislation that control the guardianship racket in Queensland, at least, and other states have comparable things. Firstly, I'll talk about the Guardianship Administration Act 2000, Section 5 of which recognises, at least in theory, certain rights. To quote from the Act, this Act acknowledges the following. A, an adult's right to make decisions is fundamental to the adult's inherent dignity. Sounds okay. B, the right to make decisions includes the right to make decisions with which others may not agree. C, the capacity of an adult with impaired capacity to make decisions may differ according to nature and extent of the impairment and the type of decision to be made, including, for example, the complexity of the decision to be made and the support available from the members of the adult's existing support network. D, the right of an adult with impaired capacity to make decisions should be restricted and interfered with to the least extent possible. E, an adult with impaired capacity has the right to adequate and appropriate support, emphasised support for decision making. Note support as per the Convention on the Rights of Persons with Disabilities, not substitute, which is exactly what kangaroo tribunals do. Their attitudes are basically, to go back to the clauses again, the right to make decisions is fundamental to the adult's inherent dignity. But you see, when you're not an adult, when you're a vegetable, as everyone is defined, you have no right to make decisions at all, so you have no inherent dignity. So forget that. The right to make decisions includes the right to make decisions with which others may not agree. Okay, if you've made decisions years and years ago, those decisions years ago can be brought up and said, we don't agree with the right, with your right to make decisions because we think those are faulty. Therefore, we're going to use that as the basis to define you as being incompetent. You can't manage your affairs. Even though law says they must have the right to make decisions with which others may not agree, the Kangaroo Tribunal says, well, stuff that legislation. We think you're gaga anyway. The nature and extent types of decisions, for instance, how they deal with that, they say, well, because you're gaga, you can't make any decisions. None of this graded capacity business. You can't make any decisions. Any decision you've ever made in your life will be used against you to prove that you are gaga.
Yeah.
Victims are told you have no rights. And this thanks to June Walker, this one. It is not the province of tribunals to determine the truth or otherwise of allegations. But we don't give rats about the truth. Our job is to appoint official guardians and financial administrators. Now, as I've said before, in Australia, we don't have this private sector guardians, what do you call them, their conservatives.
Yeah.
In Australia, the government wants all the money. So we have exclusively official guardians and official financial administrators. They're separate appointments.
Okay.
But the job of the tribunal, they've admitted themselves, the truth is irrelevant. Our job is to appoint official guardians and administrators.
To get your money.
Oh, they said this on the record. Yeah, they've just got that on the record several times. It's happened in every state. Decisions made long ago, well before there was any suggestion of incapacity, and with which the Kangaroo Tribunal disagrees, are quoted as evidence of incapacity. So you could have made a decision when you were 10 years old, and they look back at that and say, oh, you made a poor decision when you were 10. That proves to us that you don't have capacity to manage your affairs. This
now,
is exactly
see,
what's
Doug
going
over
on.
Here, they have what they call a look-back period. And
yep.
That it's not in every state, but in many states they have a look-back period, and that can be anywhere from 2 to 12 years. And in one state that I know of, 20 years. And they can go back and any property you bought, sold, traded, anything you gave away, gifted, anything else, they can demand it be brought back to the estate because the guardian wants it.
That's right, exactly. Yeah, all decisions, whether personal or financial in nature, regardless of how simple, held to be far too complex for a victim.
My.
Basically, if you're a victim, you have no capacity. You are deemed to be gaga, non-compos mentis. Say goodbye to your life. We're going to plunder everything. Now, to get back into the main gist of what this was supposed to be about, the psychological and physical injuries, support networks, be that family, be it lay advocates, whatever, and professional advocates for that matter, are viciously attacked to remove them from the equation, leaving official agencies like in Queensland, the Office of the Public Guardian and Public Trustee of Queensland, they are left as the only options to control all aspects of a family's, of a victim's life. All non-official entities are demonised. All too often, The Kangaroo Tribunal deludes family members of the victim. This is typically people with early inheritance syndrome. This is a common factor. Into believing they are safeguarding what they believe is their rightful inheritance. This is a very, very common thing. If there's a younger offspring of the victim who decide they want to get their cut of the estate, they'll be deluded into believing that what they're doing by dobbing the victim into the Kangaroo Tribunal is the right way to safeguard their perceived rightful inheritance. History, however, tells a completely different story, one in which the public trustee, or differently named equivalent in other states, in Victoria it's state trustees, in New South Wales it's state trustee and guardian and so on, systematically plunders everything, leaving nothing for beneficiaries. So any person with early inheritance syndrome who thinks they're safeguarding their perceived inheritance by dobbing their victim into the Kangaroo Tribunal is rocks in the head. They're crazy. They will never see one red cent. You can absolutely guarantee the Kangaroo Tribunal will appoint the public trustee. The public trustee will then plunder every red cent in that estate. Absolutely guaranteed. And we have hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of cases where that's happened, thousands probably. In one particular matter, I've got to be careful here because I can't identify the victim, but I can identify the situation. Family members with early inheritance syndrome who covered their father's $15 million estate had been responsible for the PTQ embezzling $6 million in less than 7 years, almost all of that in legal fees. The balance will almost certainly disappear into the maw of the public trustee within another 5 years. At that point, everyone will suddenly lose interest. By everyone, I mean the Kangaroo Tribunal, the guardian, the trustee. They'll suddenly lose interest, and the victim and his wife will be homeless, penniless, on the street in their 70s without a cent to their names. Now, I can see this happening. It's only a matter of time. Two other matters in which victims had been awarded significant compensation for accidents, not their fault, basic motor vehicle accidents. One was a motor vehicle accident. One was a nightclub accident. These situations resulted in the PTQ stealing every cent of their award. In one case, the award was just a whisker under $500,000. This is 16, 17 years ago. One that was about, I think about 8 years ago, $750,000 plus for a nightclub accident. The trustee stole every cent before losing interest in the welfare of the victims, who are understandably seriously depressed and psychologically damaged. Both victims are quite severely psychologically damaged. The awards were meant to support them for the rest of their lives. Now they are broke and living on welfare. Needless to say, the PTQ is happy because it has all the money. The Kangaroo Tribunal doesn't give a rat's. Mind you, a quasi-judge or two probably receives an Aldi bag full of dollars for their part in assisting the transfer of wealth. We don't use brown paper bags anymore. We use Aldi bags now, the German supermarket company, because you can't fit enough cash into a brown paper bag, but the Aldi bags are much stronger. So we use Aldi bags rather than brown paper bags now.
Okay.
The bottom line is the adult's inherent dignity is totally irrelevant. The Kangaroo Tribunals. Victims are the chattels of the state and no longer human. Given that victims are not afforded any rights, state entities are therefore free to do whatever they wish to ensure the victim can never challenge the decision, usually made prior to a hearing. They also can't escape the guardianship racket once captured. Now, my partner did escape. It was the last landmark decision in Australia back in 2017. I believe the scum got blindsided. They didn't realise that we were creeping up on them. Since then, they've obviously made determination to never, ever let any other victim escape. Now, the victim that I alluded to earlier in the piece certainly has far, far more capacity to manage his affairs than my partner had at the time. And my partner was declared by 8 different medical and allied health professionals who wrote 40 reports over 2 years to say that she had capacity to manage her affairs. This current victim certainly has more capacity than she had, and they are denying him any access to medical, legal or financial support. Now, on top of that, Kangaroo Tribunals have multiple tentacles. They have a network of spotters, which includes other corrupt state agencies, members of the legal judicial racket, compliant social workers in all public hospitals, and tame medical and allied health professionals. In my opinion, all of these receive inducements to refer potential victims, otherwise merchandise, to the Kangaroo Tribunal. Now, where are the ethics? Where's the morals? Now, we'll take a bribe, quite happy to give you merchandise, not a problem. The moment a potential victim is identified... Yeah, keep going.
Go ahead.
Now, you want to say
something,
mate?
Go ahead.
Yeah. Okay. The moment a potential victim is identified, the guardianship racket starts searching for evidence it can use against the victim. This includes canvassing every known medical and allied health professional who has met the potential victim in the past 2 years, with a view to collecting anything and everything that can be construed as damaging to the intended victim. Quite obviously, this practice is completely illegal, but the chances of the victim becoming aware of the skullduggery are infinitesimal, as he or she will not be made aware of the shenanigans until after being found non-compos mentis, when the rights are a thing of the past. In my partner's matter, a social worker acquired a completely illegal medical report from a junior registrar, unqualified to write anything without prior approval by the consultant specialist, contrary to all official protocols. The Kangaroo Tribunal also procured another rigged medical report from a tame doctor who deceptively purported the appointment that we had to be a review. We were not given access to either report prior to the first hearing. Consequently, we were unable to challenge the fact of illegitimate reports or the contents thereof. Now, it's a general principle in all legal actions that the victim must be given access to all the evidence proposed to be used against them, not in a Kangaroo Tribunal. They will gladly collect information. It can quite easily, as it was in this case, totally shocky, but they will not let you know what they've got, so you're not in a position to be able to fight them. Obviously, after they made the decision that you're a gaga, you don't have the ability to fight anyway, because they say, well, you've got no right to make any decisions. You're compos, non-compos mentis, you're gaga, so you don't have rights. Now, do you want to say something there?
No, it just, this goes beyond being a similar system to being an identical system. We just call it by different names.
Yes.
We're getting reverb again, Doug. And, they just call it by different names, and they just, but it's all the same thing. It's all done the same way, and it all has the same effect.
It does. We have different names in different states of Australia too, but the end result is identical. There are some legislative variations. Now, Victoria has had a Human Rights Act for some time, Queensland only for a couple of months. The implementation of the Victorian Human Rights Act causes the Kangaroo Tribunal and other sort of scum to go around slightly different tracks to get to where they want to go. The Queensland Human Rights Act is meaningless. It basically is only created to give the Kangaroo Tribunal, the guardianship racket, total control with no accountability, because they are immune from prosecution under the Human Rights Act anyway. So it's just slight difference in shenanigans, but the end result, like you say, is exactly the same.
Yeah, it is. It's the same thing. Like I say, you call it different names. You call it... God, we're getting that feedback again, Doug. I can hear me talking. I don't know.
Okay. Might be result of the scum listing in. Probably result of the scum listing in.
Yeah. And well, we've got a full phone board, so it could be anybody, quite frankly. But
they'd all be there. All the attorneys general would be on.
Yeah, no doubt. And,
guarantee every attorney general in Australia would be listening into this.
Yeah, and that's the thing, they know what they're doing. They know what they're doing. And what they're upset about, you know what they're doing. And they don't like being called out on it.
Oh, no. No, one of the tricks they play here, of course, if you oppose them, they are likely to go and find you, obsessed, fixated. Anybody who opposes them at a state level is fixated. You're fixated threat. So they can, supposedly under the legislation, drag you in and pump you full of all sorts of medication to pacify
mm-hmm.
you.
Yeah, to shut you up.
Yeah, they've got a number of shocky psychiatrists attached to the what I'll call the blue uniform
mm-hmm.
thuggery. And our coppers here wear blue uniforms. So we call them blue uniform thuggery. They have a division, in Queensland we call it the Fixated Threat Assessment Centre. And they've got a couple of tame shrinks that work in with them to... there's no judicial oversight, not that would help anyway, because the judiciary is just about as corrupt anyway. But they can find anybody fixated. I've taken some precautionary steps out. I've got a raft of reports from a number of medic and allied health professionals saying I'm most certainly not fixated, that I'm perfectly sane, I don't suffer any medical or psychiatric illnesses. So if they try this stunt on me, they'll be fighting a whole raft of medic and allied health professionals that will be very, very vocal about
mm-hmm.
this racket. It's only a matter of time because I make a lot of noises, but I think I've got some reasonable protections in place, more than that anyway. Now, back to the stuff. The second bit of legislation here that we use in Queensland is called the QCAT Act, or in its long term, the Queensland Civil and Administrative Tribunal Act. Now, interestingly, last week there was a decision in the Victorian Court of Appeal, which is the highest state court in Victoria, that its kangaroo tribunal, VCAT, is not a court. Since these creations were invented, they have been deluding, bluffing people into believing they are a court, even though it doesn't take a lot of reading to find no tribunal complies with the Constitution, Chapter 3 of the Australian Constitution, which defines what courts are. Tribunals
yes.
are not and never were courts. And last
right.
week, the Victorian Court of Appeal had to make a decision on whether or not VCAT, the Victorian Kangaroo Tribunal, was a court, and it decided most definitely not. Now, that must flow on to the other states, because this concept of judicial hierarchy, the courts of appeal in all states are on the same level of hierarchy and they are well above the kangaroo tribunals. So it could not successfully be argued that a decision in Victorian Court of Appeal was not binding on courts in every other state. It could only be overridden by the High Court of Australia, which is in Canberra. And I don't think the matter's going to get there. So we now have a situation that the Victorian Court of Appeal has found that tribunals are nothing but an administrative construct. They cannot make orders. They're doing it all the time, but they have no legal right to make orders. Now, there's no kind of challenge system in Australia, because I wouldn't even trust the High Court. It has to be fought offshore, and it will be. This is the only way to beat them. You've got to get right out of Australia, because everything in Australia is corrupt. Basically, if it's government in Australia, you might as well say organised crime. That's exactly what it is, and I don't think America's that much different. Anyway, back to the QCAT Act, 2009. It provides in Chapter 1, Section 4, the heading is Tribunal's Functions Regarding to the Objects of the Act. Firstly, to achieve the objects of this Act, the Tribunal must facilitate access to its services throughout Queensland. And I suppose it does that. It must encourage the early and economic resolution of disputes before the Tribunal, including, if appropriate, through alternative dispute resolution processes. Early and economical. Well, the matter that I alluded to earlier in the piece was the subject of an appeal back in August. It was only when the then legal counsel threatened to go to the Supreme Court to get an order mandamus, basically telling the Kangaroo Tribunal to get your finger out after 6 months, that the Kangaroo Tribunal decided, oh, we're going to reject the appeal. It sat on that for 6 months. In my partner's case, exactly the same. We had three matters all going at the same time. We had the next application for a declaration of capacity, which had been overdue for well over 6 months. I think it was overdue for about a year, that one. We had my appeal against the original decision, which was a couple of years before, and we had a legislative review that was due. That was about 6 months overdue as well. And it was only, again, the threat of an order of mandamus, an order from the Supreme Court to tell the Kangaroo Tribunal to get your finger out, is the only reason they actually schedule a hearing. These scum will not make a hearing. They'll make a decision behind closed doors, but they will not tell you about it until you actually threaten them with an order from the Supreme Court. Another object of the Act, the QCAT Act, to ensure proceedings conducted in an informal manner that minimises cost to parties and is quick as is consistent with achieving justice. Now, in the case of the matter I mentioned earlier, the minimise cost to parties. A barrister for the opposition, for the financial administrator, charged the victim $40,000 for half a day. Minimises cost to parties. You've got to be joking. Like cases are treated alike. Okay, this case is almost identical to my partner's case. She got a life back. This character is denied any access to legal counsel because we won back in May 2017. So they've now decided to dig their heels in and say, that we're not going to observe the law to say that like cases are treated alike. We've lost one matter. We're certainly not going to lose any others. We're not going to let any other victims escape our clutches. To ensure the tribunal is accessible and responsive to the diverse needs of persons who use the tribunal. Ah, yes, yes, okay. We have a victim that's got the verbal communication disorder, aphasia. We've got a raft of medical reports saying you don't interrogate someone with aphasia. There are other ways to get information. You give them a document to take home and read at their leisure and respond when they're not under stress. Oh, yeah, that's responsive to the diverse needs of persons. Yeah, sure. We'll harass and intimidate and bully someone to get our decision to justify that the person was already gaga, but we're not going to sort of be responsive to their needs. That's what the legislation says. We don't observe legislation. Oh, here's a good one. The tribunal must maintain specialist knowledge, expertise and experience of members and adjudicators, and, to extend on that, we must make use, they must ensure the appropriate use of the knowledge, expertise and experience of members and adjudicators. Now, the scum of a member we had admitted openly, I have no medical or allied health experience, knowledge whatsoever. No knowledge at all. But the legislation says you must have relevant knowledge and experience. Oh, well, we don't take notice of legislation, do we? It means nothing. It's just on paper. You know, wouldn't think us, we're going to follow legislation. We don't do that. In the process, he inflicted severe psychological injury. The victim was left catatonic for over a week, and there is no way of bringing him to account. There's no legislation that applies. Verbal abuse is not an offence in Queensland unless it's under the Domestic Violence Act. Under the Crimes Act, or Criminal Code we call it in Queensland, verbal abuse is not an offence. So you can basically abuse someone verbally as much as you like, there's no comeback, unless you do it in a domestic violence situation.
This, you know, like I say, the striking similarity or alignment of these programs in each country is just staggering. Yep. I the same thing here, you know, it is the identical same thing here.
Yep.
Go ahead, Doug. Go ahead.
Yeah, they don't care. Again, psychopaths
no.
don't care. Okay, it's extremely rare for a guardianship matter to be heard by a member with any knowledge, expertise or experience in medical and allied health areas. Despite legislation saying they must, they don't do it. Basically, you can fit legislation in Australia into two categories. Legislation intended to control us, as in legislation concerned with driving your car on the road. Here we call it the Transport Operations in brackets, Road Use Management, close brackets, Act. Now, it used to be previously the Traffic Act. Now, it's about a 550-page document, and something like half of that 550-page is about recourse and penalties. If we do the wrong thing, ways they have to get at us. Compare and contrast that with, say, the QCAT Act or the Guardianship Administration Act that's supposed to control them. Not a word, not a single word about recourse against them. There's another one, the Public Trustee, Public Sector Act, Public Servant Act, or Public Service Act, that's a Public Service Act. It says all official agencies must have an internal complaints review facility, like an internal watchdog. Okay, most of them do have. But what the Act doesn't say, the Public Service Act doesn't say that it must have a functional internal complaints review facility. When you find, invariably, that the internal watchdog is a toothless tiger that has no authority, does nothing, and doesn't even get back to you, you start asking the question, well, what do we do? What recourse when you don't do what the law says you must do. Oh, there's no provision for that. And this goes with our guardianship bracket acts, the Guardianship Administration Act and the QCAT Act. There's a whole lot of provision about what they must do. Not a word about how you can enforce those musts. Not a word. Even when in our case, when a number of submissions from properly qualified medical experts attended, uber arrogant quasi-judicial scum completely ignore them. We had at one stage 25 medical reports, this is back in January 16, 25 reports from 7 different medical and allied health professionals. These are properly qualified experts, psychologists, clinical psychologists, GPs, psychiatrists, brain surgeons, speech pathologists, all making statements that within their range of expertise. This grub threw them all on the floor and said, this is crap, I won't even look at them. We found out later on, there was a non-registered, at the time, non-registered occupational therapist working for the public trustee who had written a letter to the member saying, disregard all their evidence. We didn't know that at the time. Again, they make sure you don't get the material when you can use it. We only discovered that well after the event. But another little dirty trick they play that also causes all manner of stress, there's actually 2 files. Victims are allowed access to their file. That's not a problem. You can go in there and they put you in a locked up room and they give you a copy of the file and you can read what's on the file, you think. You only see part of it. There's actually 2 files. Anything juicy is in the second file, which you don't know about. We're not supposed to know about it. I do know
what's
about
in
it because
what is,
all
what's
the
in
juicy material.
File? Oh, okay.
The second file's got everything juicy. The file you get to see, the public file, has been sanitized. They take out anything you could use against them. But all the real material is in the second file, which you're not supposed to know about. Now, I guessed that there was a second file, and that was confirmed in my appeal hearing, which unfortunately was after we'd already won the case. But the judge in that case brought the 2 files in, whacked them on the counter and said, bang, both his fists. Now, this is the file that you've seen. He banged the other one hard. He said, this is the second file that you may not have known about. And I said, well, yeah, I knew about it. And he said, I guess you might have done, but just in case you didn't, he whacked it with his fist again and said, this is the one that's got the juicy material. And that plus a lot of other statements that the judge made in the appeal. This is a proper judge who they got rid of because his intention was to destroy the Kangaroo Tribunal. He went on for about half an hour. The official transcript goes 15 minutes. So they actually cut out a lot of material out of the official transcript because that was too incriminating. The mention of the second file was cut out. The fact that it was discussed in some length that I'd gone to the Human Rights Council and International Criminal Court, that was discussed at length. The fact that he'd made the statement, just as well you went there because you weren't going to get any justice in this place, all those little points were cut out. Very convenient, isn't it?
Wow.
So I would say to anybody that's fighting these rackets, get yourself one of those little dictating machines and do your own recording because you cannot trust the official transcript. Well, you can. You can trust it. It's going to be tampered with. You can be absolutely confident. The official transcript will be edited. If you want a proper transcript, do your own.
Wow.
Now, I covered the non-official records and so on and so forth. Okay. Alleged this psychological injury is deliberate and premeditated. It's part of policy to reduce victims to rubble and then justify the decision made prior to the hearing that the victim is non-compos mentis. It's not accidental, it's deliberate. They don't care how much injury they inflict. In actual fact, they deliberately inflict psychological injury because they want to reduce the victim to rubble because that justifies their decision made prior to a hearing.
Yes.
And that's why I call it a kangaroo tribunal. The decisions are made before the hearing. Hearing is only to legitimise the decision they've already made.
Yes.
Now, in my partner's first hearing in January 2015, hearing was chaired by, blank out the name, who claimed to be a speech pathologist. The overriding authority for speech pathologists in Australia is a company or an organisation called Speech Pathology Australia. They confirmed that the person is a practising member of that authority. I've confirmed that recently, so he's still a practising member. Now, it would be reasonable to expect a speech pathologist to have a good working knowledge of the verbal communication order aphasia, because that's one of the main adult areas they work with. That's why he has teeth pathologists in public hospitals, because they deal with people that have had a brain injury and they've got this verbal communication disorder. By the way, aphasia does not affect the person's intelligence. There's plenty of legal medical reports on that. It's not held to have any bearing whatsoever on a person's intelligence. It merely impacts on their ability to get words in and out. Generally, they can handle written communication extremely well, quite normally, but they will forget a lot of words and they may not understand words being said to them. So evidence basically needs to be got in writing, and this is basically what our professionals said. But this scum of a member said, I'm not going to say no to that. I'll do whatever interrogation I want. Everybody else can go get knotted. And they can get away with it because they know they're unaccountable. So the injury they inflict is deliberate because they've been warned by a raft of professionals, don't do that. And they turn a blind eye and say, well, stuff you. We'll do whatever we want. Now, I did speak to Speech Pathology Australia. They did confirm that the treatment that my partner received from this speech pathologist would have had a struck off had it been done in a professional capacity. If she had been working, and she still works as a speech pathologist apparently, only a part-time Kangaroo Tribunal member. Now, if that was conducted in an official capacity, she'd be struck off by Speech Pathology Australia. But because it's done in a Kangaroo Tribunal, oh, it's not our concern. I don't think that says much for the ethics of Speech Pathology Australia, though. Especially considered there's audio transcripts of what went on.
Right.
Their code of ethics for Speech Pathology Australia, chapter 2.1 in principle states, we seek to benefit others through our activities. We also seek to prevent harm and do not knowingly cause harm. No? Okay. We're going to sort of interrogate someone and reduce them to rubble, but we don't
right.
think that's going to cause harm, does it? Not much at all. I did file a complaint with the president of the Kangaroo Tribunal, who, according to legislation, is responsible for the conduct of members. Let's just say this complaint was completely ignored. I did attempt to take that to the Supreme Court for a judicial review. Oh, no, we don't take notice of judicial reviews against Kangaroo Tribunal scum. They're immune. The Constitution says otherwise, but what do you do about it? If the judge won't hear the matter, where do you go? Certainly nowhere in Australia. And I filed another complaint with Speech Pathology Australia. They advised it isn't our concern what our members do when they aren't in a professional environment. Yep. Now, I did file another raft of complaints about the second quasi-judicial scum, but he can't be brought to account because of immunity of civil offences. In Queensland, the verbal abuse would only be a civil offence under the Anti-Discrimination Act. But under federal legislation, we have the Disability Discrimination Act, in which verbal abuse in that situation is a criminal offence, but neither the state nor the federal police wanted to take a quasi-judicial scum to account. No one will prosecute it. So again, we're having serious psychological injury inflicted, and there is no legal recourse.
Go ahead.
It's policy in the Kangaroo Tribunal, in QCAT, the Queensland Kangaroo Tribunal, to insist that applicants for declaration of capacity, which is what her matter was, primary matter was, supply reports by a geriatrician or a neuropsychologist. Although the relevant legislation, in this case the Guardianship Administration Act, states that a single positive report by a basic psychologist or a GP is all the evidence of capacity needed. But again, we don't take notice of legislation, do we? The object of report by geriatrician or neuropsychologist is that geriatricians are extremely negative, which is understandable because their patients are invariably in death's waiting room. Geriatricians deal with people on the way out. So their reports are negative, which is exactly what the Kangaroo Tribunal wants. They want negative reports. They want a positive report. Heaven forbid, we don't want that. Neuropsychologist assessments are traditionally very, very heavy going. Normally a 6-hour verbal assault. Difficult for even a professor to pass, and obviously well nigh impossible for the average Kangaroo Tribunal victim. Traditionally, assessments were one size fits all. Hence, a 60-something retiree would automatically receive a less than favourable report, which perfectly suits the interests of quasi-judicial scum. But basically what I'm saying is the standard neuropsych report is a one-size-fits-all. It's the same questions, the same methodology would be applied to a professor as to a retiree. You get a currently practicing professor who might have a chance of passing. So if they might have a chance of passing, how's a 60-plus retiree going to get on? Obviously, you're going to go out the door backwards. You're never, not going to pass it. That's exactly what they want.
Right. Now, when I opened the show, Doug, I talked about bills that are coming up here in Minnesota. Like I say, there's a plethora of them. And the same thing, we're seeing the same thing, unenforceable bills. They're written on the surface if you don't know what you're reading. They look like, boy, they're really doing something here. But when you understand the terminology and what they've done, you realize it's a fluff and buff piece, and it's just meant to placate the public. And you don't stand
exactly
a chance.
Well, that's exactly what happened here with our Queensland Health, what do they call it, the Human Rights Act. You don't have to read very much to find it was an absolute total farce. The chief of thought was wonderful. Oh, we've got human rights in Queensland now. Yeah, that's all very well, except the Kangaroo Tribunal is going to administer it. The Kangaroo Tribunal is immune, so they can abuse anybody as much as they like. There's no comeback. Well, is that it's cohorts. The adult guardian and the public trustee, totally immune. They can abuse anybody as much as they want because, the Act doesn't cover them.
Yeah. Right, exactly.
They are the worst abuse of human rights in Queensland, and they are immune. How are you immune?
Yep. Yep. The law does
part
not apply to them.
Part of the interrogation in our January 16 hearing, the scum demanded the victim answer multiple highly complex financial questions. Now, she was a court recorder. Finances are totally out of their leagues. Was never an accountant or a bookkeeper at all. She basically looked after recordings in courts and transcribed them to written hard copy reports or typed hard copy reports. So anyway, this asked multiple highly complex financial questions that even her lawyer couldn't comprehend. Attempts by the lawyer to intervene on the victim's behalf were shut down by the thug, who told him to sit down and shut up. Now, isn't the point of having a legal representative to represent the victim, the lawyer should be able to talk on behalf of the victim? In this case here, the thug told the lawyer, sit down, shut up. The implication was, if you don't, I'll have your license. How can you reasonably expect the victim, who has no financial qualifications or experience whatsoever, to answer very, very highly complex financial questions that even her lawyer couldn't comprehend? Again, just more deliberate stress designed to find someone gaga or to make them gaga so that we can justify a previously made decision. I went into the medical aspects. The policy to get geriatricians and neuropsychs. What's happened more recently, and they didn't know at the time that this scum demanded a neuropsych report, because his knowledge and qualifications were way, way out of date, he'd been basically a lawyer in the tax office, he wasn't aware that the rules had actually changed in universities, particularly the faculty dealing with psychology. And I did contact a professor of psychology who was very much on side and said, look, I understand that situation perfectly. Are you aware that we are now teaching different attitudes during neuropsych reports? I said, please tell me more. So she was very, very good, this professor. And so I'm not practicing anymore, so I can't help you, but I can point in the direction of someone who knows the new paradigm, the new protocol for doing assessments. It's rare, but there are a few people practicing, and this is over 2 years ago now, 3 years ago. So there are some newly qualified neuropsychologists who have a different way of assessing. They will adjust their questions and the whole testing regime to suit the victim. They don't use a one-size-fits-all anymore. So we did a bit of hunting around. We actually found a neuropsych who adopted the new system, and she was very, very good. She adopted a lot of the work done by the previous psychologists and clinical psychologists we dealt with, and that provided a lot of the groundwork. So instead of the six-hour question and answers thing, we were only down to about half of that because a lot of the groundwork had been done before. And she changed her attitude to questioning to take account of the fact of the aphasia. So most of the things were done in writing or on a computer, which the victim was quite happy with at that stage. It wasn't a matter of verbal questioning and answer, which is what your traditional neuropsych report does. So with someone that has a verbal communication disorder, written questions and answers are fine. Typing things on a computer is fine. It's just a barrage of, like a TV quiz show. You know, you see some of these shows. We have a stupid moronic show in Australia called The Chaser, where the compere will ask 100 questions in about 5 seconds, and almost no one's going to pass it. This is the style of interrogation you'll get in the kangaroo tribunals. You'll be asked as if you're a participant in a TV quiz show. Who's the Prime Minister of Australia? Who's the Prime Minister of America? The President of America? Who's this? Who's that? You know? Bang, 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 bang. Now, while someone with aphasia might be able to handle those if they had time, the 50 questions in 5 seconds, not a chance in the world. But that's exactly what they do. We do have an evidence act to say that all official bodies must ask questions in a manner that suits the victim. But it's legislation. QCAT, Kangaroo Tribunal, they take notice of legislation. Yeah, what do you think it is, Bush or something? Anyway, where we go. Yeah, so the modern assessment, the current neuropsych assessment, anybody who's in that situation is strongly urged to suss out neuropsychs who do the modern style assessment that's not a one-size-fits-all. If they get in touch with me through ASGAR, I'm happy to point them in the right direction, because there are a few neuropsychs that I'm aware of who will look at the victim, who will act for the victim, not act for the establishment. Unfortunately, that's rare in medical and allied health professionals. Most of them are in the clutches of the racket, and they'll lean towards the racket rather than towards the victim. Okay, the new styles, kangaroo tribunals, they'll do everything in their power to direct victims to approved neuropsychs. They're the old-style ones. They like neuropsychs known to be compliant with kangaroo tribunal objectives. So anybody in that situation looking for a declaration capacity, be very, very wary, because they will play very dirty games. These are not nice people. These are bottom-feeding, blood-sucking, parasitic scum and psychopaths into the bargain. Okay, another nasty trick. It's not strictly psychological injury that it leads to it. When the victim owns a home, the PTQ requests the OPG. Basically, the PTQ is purely about financial administration. Our official financial administrators, their jurisdiction is limited largely to financial shenanigans. They have an associated body, which claims to be independent, but it's not, because the guardians are funded by the public trustee. They don't have their own source of funds. The public trustee funds them out of the victim's money. What happens when a victim owns a home, the trustee will then request the guardian to arrange a shocky ACAT. I don't know whether you've got ACATs here, Aged Care Assessment Test. The ACAT test generally is what's used to certify a victim has dementia. Now, because it's done by some shocky practitioner, probably not even qualified, I believe delegates of the guardian, which is basically juveniles, wet behind the ear juveniles, that are basically a public servant and nothing else, they can do ACAT tests. They certainly could do them acceptable to the kangaroo tribunal. So you've got grubs with no qualification whatsoever saying that a victim has dementia. There's no medical oversight over this. If you have dementia, you are then held to be a danger to yourself and others, so you have to be institutionalised. The object of this is the trustees can't claim mismanagement fees on owner-occupied homes. That's non-profit business then. So what they must do is separate the owner and the home, hence the shonky ACAT that says the victim has dementia and must be institutionalised. The home is then not owner-occupied. It's susceptible to public trustee fees, and it's also available for liquidation to pay the public trustee's legal fees. They will plunder the assets just to get the fees. Once institutionalised, or guardianised, I think you'd call it, the victim is completely isolated from pesky lawyers, accountants, medical professionals, and those supporters, family members, generally concerned about the victim's welfare. They totally cut off. The institutions say, oh, you're aggressive, you're abusive, you're whatever. Totally false, of course, and you're not allowed access to the victim. So the establishment, basically, the guardianship bracket, the guardian, trustee, kangaroo tribunal, and the institution have total control of the victim. They own the victim. The victim's got no rights, can't complain, nowhere to go, and you're gaga anyway, so any complaint you make is is ineffectual. We're not going to take any notice of it. So we own you. We own your assets, and we can do whatever we want to you. Once the victim is securely isolated, the institution is then free to deprive the victim of nutrition, hydration, medication, prosthetics, and anything that could conceivably sustain their continued existence. Now, you've had a couple of other Australian victims on there going on about their parents. This is exactly what's happened to them. They've been deprived of nutrition, hydration, medication, prosthetics, and anything else that could conceivably sustain their existence. They are quite literally waiting for the Grim Reaper. I've got records now of some 4,000 Australian victims who have been terminated this way in the past 3 years.
This is exactly
and
what we're doing here.
And we can take that to the International Criminal Court. It's a long roundabout way. It's not straightforward, so anybody thinks it's straightforward to get that. There's a long, long, long protocol to get the ICC. If you try going out the front door, you'll get rejected every time. I believe I'm the only Australian who's ever got a matter into the ICC, and it was a long-winded process. It took over 2 years. But there is an avenue there. That, by the way, does extend to America. Despite one of your Bushes rescinding the Rome statute that you need to the ICC, I believe there's a way around that. But to get around it, I think you're going to have to deal with an application originating in Australia. We can add on an American situation, but I don't think you can originate matters to the ICC yourself because you're not a member of the... We don't observe the Rome statute anymore, but I believe joining on to an Australian application, I think it's there. So anybody in America who's fighting these rackets that believes they can't get to the ICC, again, contact me through ASGAR, and I'll be quite happy to assist because the more the merrier. We do have official inquiries in Australia, occasionally. In fact, there are two underway right now. One is called the Aged Care Royal Commission. The other one is called the Disability Royal Commission. Now, as per normal practice, royal commissions are run by people known to support the object of government. They wouldn't be selected unless they are known to support the object of government. No way in the world they would otherwise. They are provided with guidelines to follow, which protect, as far as is humanly possible, all official criminals. This is only a fallback to the choice of commissioners. The choice of commissioners excludes the possibility that any official criminal would be hung out to dry. Proof of the success of this boondoggle is seen in the fact that no royal commission to date has ever implicated any official grub in any malpractice or wrongdoing. If we see people in Australia arguing all the time, oh, we need a royal commission to that, we need a royal commission to that, we need it in the corrupt council, we need it in the kangaroo tribunal, we need a royal commission to this, that, the other. Those people are deluded into believing that royal commissions are the holy grail. No royal commission to date, not one, has ever implicated any official grub in any malpractice or wrongdoing. So remember that, anybody, before you start arguing about royal commissions being wonderful. There's also talk in Australia about federal ICAC, but they call that independent, yeah, I love the word independent, independent commission against corruption. Yeah. Those who have read Men from Mars will be aware that words don't necessarily have the same meaning. In Men from Mars, you had the men trooping out across from Mars to visit women on Venus, and they found they spoke the same words. It took a while before they realised the meaning, the dictionaries, were totally different. So, again, we all get deluded. We hear politicians crapping on about independent and think, oh, yeah, it's what we think is independent. Ah, no, 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 no. Independent means Muppets who have been very, very carefully selected, and their decision is set in concrete before they're ever appointed, but they're independent. It doesn't mean what we think in the Collins, Macquarie or Oxford Dictionary. It means what we think in the political dictionary. Another common misconception is people here are in the public interest. Ah, yes, yes, the public interest. The sheeple think public means the masses, the sheeple, the great body of the people. No, no, no. There's another definition of public. Anybody that's read Shakespeare would be aware of this in Merchant of Venice and Man Four Seas and so on and so forth. No, not Man Four Seas, Merchant of Venice and Macbeth. The concept of public in the Shakespearean arena is the public is the body of drones surrounding me, my cohorts. That's my public. So when politicians, bureaucrats, judiciary crap on about in the public interest, they mean in the interest of those people close to me, in the interest of my cohorts, not in the interest of the public at large. So anything that any bureaucrat, politician or judge says be very, very careful how to interpret it. There's another meaning, and it's usually not the one you think it is. Now, that's right. Now, the last little bit I've got here, before anybody concludes it's all gloom and doom, it mostly is, but not all, there are, in fact, remedies which work, and I've proven that it works with our victory in 2017. Although precious few, very few, are prepared to do what it takes. There's been five victories I'm aware of, five proper victories where victims got their life back, where they regained total control of life. Only five in Australia, three in Queensland. And the 2017 was, as far as I'm aware, the last one in which a total recovery of life was achieved. Precious few. That's what, in Queensland, about 6,000 plus cases, three winners, one in 2,000. That's your chances, people. So, yes, you can win, but you're going to have to do a lot more work than what you think you've got to do, if you really want fair dinkums about it. I wasn't prepared to lose. We were going to win regardless. Regardless of whatever we had put in, we'd do whatever it takes. Most people won't do that. They prefer to believe on Facebook and say, oh, woe is me. Oh, isn't it bad? How many of those get their finger out and actually do things? Not many. I don't propose to detail the methods at this point since I have a number of actions underway in respect of the guardianship bracket, and these actions underway will succeed. There's no doubt at all. While these actions pertain primarily to Australian matters, there's no reason why anybody in other countries, including the US, cannot get on board. Ultimately, the matters will be decided in the ICC, and I'm confident that I can get US matters into that arena. Despite whoever it was, I think it was one of the Bushes, rescinding the Rome Statute for America. Before getting within QE the ICC, though, there's a lot to be done, an awful lot to be done, more than you could ever imagine. It took me 2 years last time. The history of individuals getting ICC attention is extremely limited, but there are ways to improve the chances of success that I've discovered since then. I think I can get matters there within a year now, maybe less. Anybody who wants to follow that track from America or any other country that's listening is welcome to get in touch with me, care of Asgard. Okay, that's my rant for the day, Nutty.
Well, you know, like I say, I can't help but note the similarity, the almost identical plan in motion here. As far as the ICC go, yes, Bush did take us off of the International Criminal Court right before we attacked Iraq for no damn reason. And what people don't know about the International Criminal Court is if you're a member of it, you're signed on to it, they're investigators. We're getting feedback again, Doug.
But
their investigators, wherever they plant their feet, they are the top authority. Like if they came into the U.S., they can override our laws, the Constitution, anything.
Yes.
And
yep.
They can go anywhere. They can arrest anyone. And so
yep.
He took us off. Now, on the one hand, I think this is a good thing. We don't need a foreign entity coming in here and making any more trouble for us than we already have. On the other hand, this was our only way. Whoa, that feedback is fierce, Doug.
I don't know where it's coming from because there's nothing turned on
here. Yeah.
I'll go out in the yard.
It has its pluses and minuses. I think it's unfortunate in both countries we cannot get our own governments to work for us. They treat us as if we are the enemy. And
yes.
Instead of shooting us with bullets, they shoot us with all kinds of bogus legislation and rules and procedures and everything else that deprive you of your rights and your liberty. And
yep.
This, I think, is the biggest problem we face is our own governments won't
yep.
cooperate. They won't do the right thing. They won't do the right thing by us. They see us all as some kind of an obstacle to whatever
yep.
it is they want.
Right.
And I have yet to figure out what it is they want. But I don't know. This is just, I think, is disgusting. You talked about aged care a little bit. We have hospice here, of course. And, oh, that feedback is fierce.
Probably out in the yard.
But,
no, near
yeah.
anything.
Yeah. It's just, but we have hospice, and people are put into hospice that are not terminally ill, but they immediately withdraw food and hydration. Then I
yep.
couldn't figure out how they could do this and get away with it. And it's because they have redefined food and water not as a human necessity and a right, but as medical
That's right.
treatment.
Yep.
And so when they call for futility of care, meaning we're not going to provide any more care because it's pointless, when they do this, The first thing they do is pull food and water. Within
That's
3
right.
days, you're mostly, if you're elderly, to 3 to 4 days, you're comatose. And they are drugging you.
I think that's why
you.
We need the independent court. We're not going to get independence in our own country because we don't have real separation of powers. The three arms of government work in concert to protect each other. There's no separation of powers, regardless of what Montesquieu said back in the 17th century. It doesn't exist in Australia, America, or probably anywhere else. The judicial entity that we're approaching for recourse has to be genuinely independent, like dictionary meaning independent, as in the Collins, Macquarie, or Oxford dictionaries.
Uh-huh.
Unless it's independent as per recognisable dictionaries, it's not independent. Because a politician or a bureaucrat says it's independent, doesn't mean to say it is. It almost certainly is not independent if they say it is. It's not. So getting out of our country, getting out of the jurisdiction controlled by government scum, at all level, all arms of government, I mean, be it the politician, the legislature, the bureaucracy or the judiciary, I rate them all in that category. They're all corrupt because none of them are supportive of human rights. The only way to deal with this matter is get into something that is dictionary meaning independent. And by dictionary meaning, again, I mean Collins, Macquarie or Oxford Dictionary or some other recognisable dictionary. I think your dictionary in America is the
Webster.
Collins, isn't it? Oxford is the Pommy one, Australia is Macquarie. Now, under those definitions of independent, it has to be someone that, an entity that official scum cannot interfere with, as they can in Australia and in America and every other so-called democratic country. So I don't think there's any option but to go through the ICC. There's nothing else. We can't go to the International Court of Justice because that's only for the countries. Citizens only have the ICC. And only on a limited basis, because you've got to prove grave crimes against humanity, which is difficult but not impossible to prove. I don't think in the foreseeable future there's any recourse available in our own countries. So, yes, under that circumstances, yes, we do need that avenue available. We shouldn't do.
Yeah.
Have legitimate courts in our country, but we don't. There is a move, interestingly, in Queensland to elect our judiciary, at least at state level.
Yes.
That, I think, might have a bit of a chance. You can get rid of at least some of the grubs. Not all, obviously, but you get rid of some. At the moment, all our judges and magistrates here are appointed by government. So basically, you've got to be an official drone, known to be friendly to officialdom, before you're going to be appointed. I think taking some of that authority away has to be a good thing, although clearly it hasn't worked totally in America. You've still got corrupt judges being appointed.
Right. Well, and the other thing, it's like here where I live, on the ballots, they say we elect our judges. Well, you're given two options for whatever seat is vacant, and you have to pick one of those two, and underneath it says other. I always write my name in on the other line. But these people don't have to campaign, and you know that one of them has got that job, no matter how you vote.
Yeah.
So, it's a bogus vote. It's a waste of time.
Yeah. Yeah, I've got that situation. We have council elections coming up in March, and the sitting member who probably, sitting councillor, who was probably going to get up anyway because he was unopposed, we call the tosser, for various reasons. They just put in an opposition. He's had another one who is even more political. Our councillors are not supposed to be political. They're supposed to be apolitical appointments.
Right.
But we commonly know, at least in my part of the world, on the Gold Coast, they're all political. They're what we call the lying nasties. And they're rusted on. They have control. They've always had control. All Gold Coast residents all vote lying nasty. But they're all welded on. So we had one that was borderline, not partly known lying nasty, but he's been supplemented now by a full-blown lying nasty. So you've got a choice of a halfway lying nasty or a full-blown lying nasty. Good choice.
Yes. There you go.
So I see that's what you go with your judiciary. Yeah, so you, in theory it sounds good. In practice, it's not quite
it
appears.
And that's it, and that's the thing, too. We have allowed, as a country, you and us both, this system to develop the way that it is. And now that it is there, we don't know how to get out of it. We don't know how to get away from these people that have overtaken everything. But I think when our governments have determined that we are a waste population, when they look at us as if we, you know, are something to be discarded, that we're no longer productive, so we're no longer of value. And that, I think, is why the system has been allowed to proliferate all over the place. They're culling out the people they see as having no value. And the rest of the population, except for those of us that stand up and say something, but the bulk of the populations everywhere sit there and either don't know or don't care or think it's never going to happen to them. And it's happening right in front of your eyes. It's happening right in front of your eyes.
This is what's annoyed me a lot. We see a lot of cases popping up here where if they act on early, you'd have a chance. But it seems to be impossible to educate people. And this is, I'm just getting so frustrated that cases that would be perfectly winnable, and the case that I mentioned about the $15 million, that would have been winnable. It won't be. It'll never be won because the parties totally refuse to do what they need to do.
Uh-huh.
There's personality issues involved. But it's a winnable case. A lot of cases are winnable. They're eminently winnable. But there's a lot of work, and people just... Look, I don't know how many people approach me, and this is all around the world. After our win, we had phone calls, emails from all around the world, hundreds and hundreds of them. And I said, well, how'd you get a win? And I said, look, I'm probably happy to tell you. And I waste hours and hours and hours and hours going through the finer details. And without exception, everyone said, oh, no, I'm looking for an easy solution. I don't want to go to that sort of trouble. Look, do you think I went to all the trouble because I wanted to? No, I went to the trouble because I was determined to win. Failure was not an option. But you say that to people, and they look at you funny. Oh, no, that's too hard. No, there's got to be an easy way.
Okay. Yeah, and that's the thing, too.
No one in Australia, a victory like ours, since 2017. Yeah.
Well,
we're looking 3 years.
Wow. And I think the worst part of this is when you get into it and you realize how perverted this system is and what's actually going on. I think most people suffer a form of trauma, shock. How could this be happening? This can't be possible. And yet it is. It is.
I was shocked initially. I'm shocked every time. I never cease to be shocked when I hear some of these shenanigans, including this one that's only popped up recently. I never cease to be shocked. I thought I was beyond being shocked. I thought I'd seen it all. But as late as this morning, I've been shocked with another example of their brutality. There's no end to it. But victims somehow need to be educated. I don't know how you do it. I'm not an educator. It's not my job. I've never been trained in it. But somehow along the line, I'd love to see some way devised to educate people before it's too late.
Yeah. Well, the thing is, Doug, they won't listen. That's the whole thing. They will not listen. And you try to tell them what's happening and how it works, and, oh, no, that can't be, and you must be wrong. And so-and-so told me it was different and everything. And then a while later, they're back around going, help, help, help. You know, I get tired of that myself, you know.
It's too late after they capture it. Once you're institutionalized, forget it.
Yeah.
That's the end of your life. The only people who've ever got out of institution are those that didn't have any money, or ones that died, of course.
Right.
No one's ever escaped an institution with substantial assets left. If you get more than 50 grand in the bank, you're never going to get out of an institution. Well, it wasn't in your bank because it's all been stolen, but if your former net worth on paper is in excess of 50,000 and you're in an institution, say goodbye to your life.
Yeah. And I think more and more people have become aware that when they're put into these places like hospice, it's because somebody wants them dead. You know, that's got to be a god-awful feeling.
You're no longer productive.
I just don't.
Look, I've mentioned before, in Australia we have a lot of stuff in the media about old greyhounds, old racing dogs that sort of are no longer productive. We've had a lot of stuff in the media about old racehorses that are no longer productive. Put them out to pasture. Well, don't put them to pasture. Just the horses get turned into dog food. And I suppose the dogs get turned into dog food too.
Yeah.
Don't ever use them. There's no thought for the poor animal. it stopped making you money, so therefore it's got no value. And all humans are the same. We can no longer tax you, so you've got no value. Get rid of you.
Yes, exactly. That's what I've tried to tell people. They have commodified us. We are commodities, and we are have value only so long as they can market some part of us, what we're doing, either our labor or something else. And once you can't do that anymore, whether through age or sickness or whatever, they want rid of you. And you know, and they've got the whole system put in place. I had written an article here. It's been about maybe a year ago, if I remember correctly. But, you know, people kept saying, we need to fix it. And I keep telling them, the system is not broken. It's operating just exactly the way they intended it to.
Yeah, it's not
it
correct.
Doesn't need to be. They need to get. It's not a matter of fixing it. It is a matter of simply getting rid of it.
Yes,
and,
that's right.
You know, and it's the same way over there. You know, you've got this system in place, and, you know, for the people that are running it, there's nothing wrong. You know?
That's right. It's not corrupt. It was planned to be that way.
Yeah. Yes. Yes, it was. I'm getting a tremendous problem here trying to keep this stream up on air, Doug, and I think we're going to cut this before we get bounced. All right, I want to thank you for coming on, and this has been a load of information. The shows, everyone, are always available on archives, so you can go back. If I know some of you said at one point to slow down, you were trying to make notes, but you can always go back and listen to it, stop it where you need to, and make your point.
I tried to speak a lot slower. I know the extent I think Australia speak too fast, but I have tried to slow down a bit today and do a bit more deliberately, so hopefully people receive got more than what I said before.
It's just a difference in the way we talk. But everybody, thank you for tuning in. We had a full board again tonight, and a lot of listeners got a lot of messages about, you know, agreeing with what you were saying. So thank you, everyone, for that. I like to get that feedback on the shows and let you know how we're doing. And we will be back on Wednesday night with Betrayed by Hospice. Thursday night is Whistleblowers, and hopefully Kaz and I will be on Friday night with our little show. And that'll do it for the week. So everybody, thank you for tuning in. Doug, thank you for being our guest. And
thanks, Mike.
Hello and to everybody there in Australia from all of us over here. We'll be talking to you again soon, everyone. Good night.
Ciao.